dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
And Youpers must mean Captain Kales here.
It sure does.
And I don't think anything can make you smile like Youpers.
That's one of those that'll never get old. Ever.
No, I've been listening to it. I started using that song, got permission to use it.
There you go.
Oh, my God. It's been, I don't know, a long, long time ago. And after I had our last fiasco with this thing, I went and redid our permission thing with it. But it just... I never get tired of it. I mean, I've literally been playing that song, listening to it for 20 years, I think. So, anyway, that means me and the Youpers must be getting old. You know? Hey, we get way up there in age now, you know. That dog just don't hunt no more. So, speaking of dogs that don't fish no more, that's not you, though. That's
no,
me.
No. So, yeah, we were out there today for what it was worth.
For what it was worth, I heard you caught a bunch of sharks.
We did catch a bunch of sharks.
You caught a bunch of sharks. You got a couple rays to hit. You had a...
Yep.
Guy was in there. He seemed to have a great time.
Sure. You know how they say it's not the destination, it's the route there.
It's the journey, yes.
The journey sucked.
it was really bad, huh?
Remember, you're from up north, so...
Oh, no, I don't know how to do this because I was born in the south,
You've gotten up at the top of that mountain and made that perfect little snowball.
Right.
And then rolled it down the mountain and watched it get bigger as it went.
Yep.
Yeah, I know we're trying to keep it family-oriented, but poo has the same properties.
Yes.
As a snowball.
Yes, and it just keeps getting bigger and collecting more.
And that is what today was.
So, you start off from the house. Now, from what I understand, you forgot your phone.
My phone. I forgot my wedding ring. I forgot my shirt to change into because I was coming right here to the shop right afterwards.
And
forgot all that stuff.
And so, you get here. We get had to the no shop, shrimp.
No shrimp. So, okay.
I always say this would be a great place to start a bait shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be one heck of a place to put a bait shop.
So, we decided that... we'll see if we can get some white bait. Went up to the boat, got everything loaded up, turned on the live well just
right.
to test it before I leave the dock, which is a good habit I've gotten into. And it sounds like a squirrel caught in a blender, so I changed it out.
Now, there's an analogy you don't hear every day.
Yeah, a high-pitched squeal surrounded by a lot of beating and banging.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I understood it perfectly. I was just mentioning you don't hear a squirrel in a blender very often.
So, I took the 5 minutes to change it out, and we got on our way.
Put a brand new pump in, and
right out of the box. Put it in there, headed out, met up with Carl halfway out there, and told him I was going to go try and get some white bait. And that I'd give him a call if I found any, you know, because I didn't have my phone.
Right.
And got out there, got a live well full of bait, and...
Did the screaming squirrel come back?
No, it did. The screaming squirrel didn't come back, but I'm sitting up there in the front of the boat wondering why I smell burning plastic. And I go back to the pump, and sure enough, the... head of the pump is just melting on itself. It ran for a whopping 30 seconds.
And gone. Just melted down plastic goo.
Melted down plastic goo. Bait all died.
Isn't that wonderful?
Then Carl showed up, and Carl had my quarter-inch net, which I really needed anyways.
Right.
So we filled her back up. I pulled the bilge pump head off, put it in the live well to pump it, and... got everything working for a little bit, and then...
So what happened, buddy?
We're standing in 4 inches of water in the boat, because the bilge pump head is now running the live well.
Why was there getting water in the boat?
I didn't put the plugs in.
Oh, you didn't put the plugs in?
Didn't put the plugs in the back of the skiff.
So,
which is usually no big deal, because it's a self-draining hull. They're not supposed to be in.
Right.
You know, we just put them in to keep the water out when everything's heavy.
Right.
When you fill a 50-gallon live well up with water, things get heavy. So the water was coming in, and now my feet are soaked.
I hate that.
Oh, there's nothing more than I hate than cold.
I don't mind if
or it, wet feet. Yeah, it's fine if I'm in sandals or something like that.
Well, when I'm in the water, I'm fine. I'm wet. But once I get out of the water, I want to dry my feet off.
So I'm running.
I really do.
I'm running around in the shop in bare feet, so I don't have trench foot by the time I get home. So it was just, you know, that snowball got bigger and bigger all day long.
But you caught fish?
Yeah, we sat out there and caught some.
There's a happy, happy, nice joy, shot. Joy, happy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, right?
You got to push through it. You got to push through it and still make it happen. It's not like you can turn to your clients and say, you know what, time out. Today sucks, we're going home.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't
I mean, they're
like
paying
that.
For a trip. You gotta, and you got to live through all that and be smiley, happy Captain Kale. Yeah,
absolutely, you do.
And now you get on the radio and you sound like you're going to die. What's up with that?
Because, you know, it comes to a head. You got to let it off somehow.
You're just I'm done with this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, moral of the story is carry extra bilge pump heads. And one thing when we built those boats was that to make everything accessible.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how
not just
much.
Accessible, but redundant.
Accessible and redundant.
Right. You know, we've got the bilge pump. We've got the live well pump. We've got the recirc pump. They all use the same heads. They all are out in the open. They all have enough wire to reach the others. So you can switch them around if need be.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, I preach all the time to people. Have a backup plan. Plan B is really, really important when you own a boat. My daughter calls up. She says, Dad, we're going to buy a boat. I said, well, what are you buying a boat for? I says, you don't get much time off. You don't have it real. Yeah. They're just getting started. They don't have money. I said, break out another $1,000.
They come down here. They win your tournament.
Yeah, they get $1,200.
They're bitten by the bug.
Yeah, oh no, he's just all excited. I mean, he hadn't really fished before, and now he's just into it.
Good for him.
But
this is why we take kids fishing.
Yeah, but I look at him and said, Heather, if the boat's $1,200 or $800, that means you got $4,000 worth of fixing to do on it.
At least.
And then you have to buy a new motor.
Yeah,
you know,
a new motor.
She says, well, that doesn't have a floor. It needs to have a floor in it. There's a reason he's selling it for $800.
Exactly.
It's a couple of grand to fix that.
Yeah, you're getting $800 worth of boat, which isn't a whole lot of fiberglass.
You know, and it's just funny. I understand the want and the desire because I went through it. But
sure.
Luckily, she said, well, Dad, I'm not buying the boat. But I would have understood because I've bought the $800, $1,500 boat and lived through it and spent so much money on the motor repairs, the boat repairs, hours and hours worth of endless time where you never really get to use the boat because you're always fixing it.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're done, you're out of money. You got thousands of dollars.
You can't afford to fish.
And
now it comes from being a source of enjoyment to a point of contention.
Exactly. I said, fish off the bank.
Yeah.
Go wading, you know.
Yep. Like
rent
they say,
a boat once a month. Hire a captain every once in a while.
The first happiest day of your life is when you buy the boat. The second happiest day of your life is when you sell it.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you spent $350 on a charter boat captain every 6 weeks, and you go out and you have a great time,
you're still ahead.
Because by the time you tow the boat, and she's 40 minutes from where they go fishing.
Right.
I said,
right.
Now you have to have a dual axle trailer. And you got to carry hubs with you.
Yes.
And so
and a spare and tire.
You have to carry the spare tires,
spare
extra
hubs. Yep.
Because
absolutely.
The tires will fall off going down the highway. You'll be going along, and all of a sudden the tire just passes the truck, and the boat's running on its one thing.
Yep.
Then you got metal files to shave and reshape the spindle. You got to put your new hub on. If you don't have one with you, you'll find one. So you got to buy two extra hubs. Have a big file, toolkit, all that, jacks.
Don't forget the bottle jack.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, there's just so much stuff. And that's the reason I went to running dual axle trailers. When I have my trailers, when we set them up, I set up each axle to hold the weight of the boat. And the other one's the redundant.
Right.
If I blow a tire or hub, I take it,
pull it
I
off.
Throw it in the boat, strap up the other, that part of the axle to
and
the frame, and just
keep going.
And when I get there and I'm not on the side of the road and I don't have to worry about dying to fix the boat because side of the road is dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
People run into stuff. I don't know what's up with that.
How many troopers have we had killed this year on the side of the road?
Yeah, I mean, they
and that's a big, bright car with flashing, blinking lights.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other day there was a guy got stopped and He said the cop just said, come on, guys, you're going to move over here, get up by your vehicle. This is, you know, we can't be here. You know, it's not safe.
Yeah.
And somebody plowed into the back of the cop car.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the red and blue lights you didn't see. Are you kidding me? What, are you hypnotized? Texting?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Part moth.
You know, so anyway, boats are, they're wonderful. They're great. They're fun. They're fantastic when they work.
Yes.
When they work, when you go out, you start them up, you hit the key and go.
Yep.
But if you don't do it all the time, the worst thing for a boat is setting. When a boat just sits
absolutely.
Still.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're not running it once a month, you're going to have more and more and more problems. With Bush deregulated the gas. And so you got a lot more gunk in the fuel. Then Obama pushed all the ethanol into it.
Right.
So now here we have the worst gas we have had in this country for...
Ever.
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 I mean, you have to go back to the 1940s to find fuel this bad.
Well, if you remember, one of the byproducts of burning fuel is water.
Mm.
Now it sits in a tank and makes its own.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's gotten. It sits in your gas tank and makes its own water now.
Yeah, it makes its own water, and the alcohol coagulates, and, you know.
I was just surprised,
on a weird side note. Now, I don't usually like taking side trips, but I was...
never do that.
A bottle of a Bailey's, you know, booze type thing, I was looking at last night, and it said, use within 6 months after opening. Now, most booze you can keep forever. I didn't know. I guess because of the cream in it. It's got 6 months.
Yeah, probably the cream.
Yeah. So, even the booze nowadays doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
I like a bottle of VO. You could set it on the shelf, come back in 12 years, it's still good.
We've lost the ability to make good alcohol.
Yeah, this is just
sad.
It's
why the booze is terrible. It's why the fuel is terrible, because we're putting the bad alcohol in the fuel.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. We need to put Seagram's in charge of the gas.
All the Irish people are going to get up and leave.
Yeah.
That's your first hint something's wrong. When they go back to Ireland, we're going home.
Yeah.
The drinks are better.
The drinks are better. When you can't even make good alcohol for gas.
Really.
So, anyway.
But, yeah, it's boats are always a point of maintenance. They're always something to fix on
but
it.
But using them is a big thing, because when you use it,
if
it
you
works.
Use it the way a boat is designed. I've always said the two worst things that you can do to a boat is not run it and run it like a charter captain, because they're not built to be run every day.
No.
They're built to be run every other weekend.
Right.
That's really how they're designed to be run. And it's hard to find a boat as a charter captain that will hold up to the punishment and abuse that we give it. And it's impossible to find one that can sit forever.
There is no motor sits. When my motor sits, they go to San Carlos, or I got to call Scott, or, you know.
Yeah, there's certain ways to take care of them.
Because once they sit, if you don't run all the fuel out of it and let it empty, get all the fuel out of it so it goes, and even then there's always a little bit. The vacuum chambers get messed up.
Yep.
Everything goes bad.
Injectors.
And the injectors get bad. The vacuum chamber goes bad, and you've got to have it all taken apart, all clean, the whole fuel system done. It's about $600-$800.
Yeah, yeah.
And... you know, it's my boats are work boats, all of them but one.
Yep.
And that one used to be a work boat, but it's just got off a lot of money to keep throwing at them when just because you don't have time to run them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fighting the bug of buying my own boat, and it's too much of a pain in the butt. It really is.
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, I get it. Because every time you're sitting there, when we went into business together on the charter thing, the reason was I already owned the boats. I got them at the oil spill, and we ran them. And then Carl, the one Carl's running, we got because of Andrew. But that was a great buy in a boat.
You couldn't let that one go.
That was the best buy I think I've ever done on a boat. 24-foot skiff for, you know, a few grand. It just,
and very rarely is there such thing as a good buy on a boat. Whether it's new or used, it's tough to find.
Yes. I think we did good on that one, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The day you get yours, I'm selling all the boats except mine, and getting rid of everything else, and I'm buying a houseboat.
I don't blame you.
I'm buying a houseboat.
I don't blame you.
I want a boat I can just go out, relax, be on the water with, go to sleep, wake up,
yep.
just be my 2 days out there by myself. And if I can't find one I like that it'll fit, I'm getting one of those 27 skiffs and modeling it in a houseboat.
There you go. There you go.
It's almost a 30-foot houseboat. That'd be fine.
I mean, luckily I've been good on equipment. You know, I don't break a whole lot of stuff. If you are somebody that breaks a whole lot of stuff, it gets expensive. Lower units are expensive. Whole engines are expensive.
$1,500 for a new lower unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
how much does it cost to fix a motor that's been sunk underwater?
Yeah, we will find out when we get Carl's back up. But, yeah. No, you got to watch everything about a boat. And we've been kind of talking all about it. One of the things, a lot of boats sink. It's not the end of the world. They're made for salt water. They're made to handle that. If you get water up in your gauges, they're going to go bad. They're only made to handle the spray. If your gauges aren't underwater,
well, if your
when you go underwater,
if your boat's
50%
over,
of the time they come up and they're fine.
If your boat is over a year old, chances are the gauges don't work anyways.
Yeah, that's true. And I've actually got to the point I don't even bother putting the tacks and everything on them anymore. I just run it by ear. So I'm guessing within a few. You're going to run the way you're going to run anyway. So what do I need to know if I'm running too slow, too much? It's just information that I don't really need anymore.
I don't look at it anymore. It's all solely by ear. Yeah. I can probably tell you how fast I'm going and what my RPM are just by listening to it.
And so I don't have a lot of those gauges, but when you see a boat and it's sunk underwater, here's a couple of tips to bring it up. One, muscle. You need a lot of lifting power to get it up. Because in order to bring it up, what you need to do is get the gunwale, the surface of the boat, just above the surface of the water. And then you put pumps in it. And you pump all the water out. As you pump the water out, the boat floats right up. But it's getting a 400-pound motor lifted up. And then you got to get the weight of the boat has to be at least an eighth, quarter inch above the level of the water.
Right.
And
then
you need a bunch of big pumps. You cannot have too many pumps to get it up.
Which is a bunch of strong young men willing to get in the water and lift.
Yeah.
Or lift bags.
Yeah, lift bags are tough. I mean, if you got a bunch of friends or you can find somebody with a barge with a, you know, a lift on the
crane
on the barge. And all you got to do is get it up just so the gunwale clears the water an eighth
and
of an inch.
It happens. It is something that can happen very easily.
I'm not going to tell you how many boats sunk at my dock. I've
never,
ever been on. Well, I was on one boat, my 8-foot aluminum boat, over at Bayshore. I'm snook fishing, going along Bayshore. I was heading down by the beach, middle of the night. Well, not middle, but 10:30 at night. Dark as heck. Somebody goes up the river, big boat on plane. I couldn't see it. I didn't even hear it.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, it's boosh, all these waves are coming over, and I didn't have time to get to the middle of the boat to ride about. And next thing you know, I'm sitting on the bottom, all my tackles floating away. And that was the only boat I've ever sunk while I was in it. And that poor little 8-foot boat, I still have it. First boat I ever fished with here.
There's one inside Ponce. Big boat. 50-footer. It's got four live wells or four bilge pumps in it running 24/7. I mean, every time you go by that boat, it's pumping out water.
Now, is that the air conditioners or?
No, it's sitting at the dock.
Yeah, but they a lot of times are on the air conditioners, and air conditioners are run off the water. So
no, it's pumping
water.
You know, it'll take an electric outage, a pump head to melt. It happens. We found that out today.
I had a 42-foot sailboat sink on me because of a tiny leak in the head.
Yeah.
In the water part where it brought water up to the bathroom, it developed a little leak. I never noticed it, and I was gone. I left town. I was gone a little over a month, and the water just filled up. The pumps went, but I didn't have shore power hooked up to it. All I had was the batteries on the boat.
Batteries go dead.
Boat fills with water, and I just got done redoing the whole inside. My 6-gallon fuel tank that I ran the outboard with turned upside down and floated fuel all through all the new upholstery, everything I had done.
Nice.
I sold the boat.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often than it does down here, because we've got hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of boats sitting in the water.
Thousands.
In the water, not on lifts, not on trailers, just sitting in the water. You know, just about every sailboat in PGI and Port Charlotte is sitting on the water. It takes one bad stuff seal, and it's sitting on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how little it takes to sink a boat.
Yeah, one stuck float on an automatic bilge pump, one power outage, and, you know, like I said, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more than it does.
Yeah. The good thing is when you're on a boat, it's usually pretty safe. I came back one time. I was out in the Gulf and had a piece of a boat delaminate. Luckily, we had some 5200 on the boat. It's a adhesive, kind of like a silicone stuff. I ripped the top off a box of Publix chicken, the wax box, smeared some of that sealant on it, dove in the water, slapped it over the hole, and just idled back. And had no problem. If you're a little creative, you can, you know, if you get a hole in the boat, you can just go over, stuff your shirt in it.
Yeah.
And it'll get you back.
Sure.
You don't have to worry too much about getting back. I mean, it really takes a lot to make a boat go down. Yep. Unless it's at the dock. Because you're not on it. You're not watching it. You're not there to, oh my God, you're having trouble, you know?
You know, you tie those ropes off at a certain distance on high tide. Low tide, the tide comes up, the boat shifts, it moves underneath the dock.
I think this number one reason boats sink is they catch underneath the dock or catch a seawall and they can't float up. And next thing you know, they're full of water. But getting back, let's go do a little bit about fishing, because you did go on the water today. You had a great day catching fish.
We had a good day catching shark.
Okay, so what was the game plan? What'd you do to get all these fish to happen when nothing else was working right?
Getting the shark to happen is, for me, for some reason, easy. I went out to one of my favorite shark holes, and they were there. You know, they're always there at that hole, and it's one of those
unless
things
it's
that,
Fish and Frank's tournament.
Yeah, unless it's the tournament.
Yes.
But we did get that big run there on the tournament, so they were there that night, too. It just one was there, and it was the one that counted. But it's I even had the guy, he said, how do you know these sharks are here? I just do. I've been doing it for a while. I know they're here.
I am a shark. Yeah. I think like a shark.
He says,
I know what a shark does.
Why are they here? Have you ever dove down there to look? No, there's too many damn sharks.
Yeah.
I'm not going down there.
Maybe next October I'll take a look.
I don't care why they're there.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I really don't care why they're here. I just want to know they are here.
Yeah. I'm not going down there.
Yeah, that would be tough. I don't know if I when I was younger, I could have.
And it's one of those places that there's no reason for them to be there.
I
do wonder. And the more I fish it, the more I wonder. I'm not going to wonder enough to get in the water and find out why, but I do wonder.
And it's weird because there's spots like that where redfish are tougher because redfish don't stay in a spot very long.
No.
They tend to hang out in certain areas, but you're talking about a quarter mile variant.
Yeah.
I would say an easy quarter mile one way or the other. So you're talking about a half a mile of area that, and you've got to look through, okay, are they under this tree, that tree, behind this island, that and island? You're talking about a half a mile square for a school of redfish.
If you take a half a mile square inside the mangroves, that's a lot of shoreline to pound. That's a lot of little islands and keys that makes them very tough to find. I don't worry about a half a mile square out in the harbor. Because my chum will bring them to me.
No, see, that's me. I want to get out there, drop my chum bag, and let it do its job.
Yeah.
And I'm not even using the real expensive stuff. I use the cheap stuff already in the bags. A, I'm cheap. B, it works well enough for what I'm going to do.
Well, I still take the cheap stuff and put it inside my chum box.
Right.
And it flows.
Now, what's your
so
chum
nice
box?
Through there. It's the little black minnow traps, the little two-piece conical minnow traps that we sell. I think they're $10.
And how do you make a minnow trap into a chum box?
You smash those funnels down so the chum block will actually fit in there. Now, you've said, you know, why don't you leave one of those open and see if you get any white bait or anything like that, because I'm hanging them right off the side of the boat on the surface. If you're sending them to the bottom, by all means, only smash one end up and see what you get, because there's been a whole lot of pinfish out there in the middle of the harbor.
Yeah, that would just fill it full of pinfish.
Yeah.
You know, if you took a pinfish trap, cut the top off, made it all fold up so you could put a half a big chum block in there.
But that might be a benefit. You know, you take a chum block and sink it to the bottom, it doesn't disperse as much as it does sitting there rocking and dunking and shaking on the side of the boat.
Well, that's, I think, what most people do wrong.
Put a couple dozen pinfish in there with it, and they're going to spread it around.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people do their chum wrong. I think they let it float. They don't let it hang. I need that chum bag to hang off the side of the boat, so every time I get hit by a wave, every time somebody walks back and forth across the boat, it's dipping it, it's bringing it up and down out of the water.
I don't like shark fishing on calm days, because you don't get that rocking of the boat. Your chum slick isn't as good during a rough day.
And the sharks know you're there more.
Yeah.
They can hear you more. The water's clearer and calmer. They can see you. When it's rough and it's a little choppy, you're way more disguised than you are when the water's quiet.
Yeah.
The more quiet the water, the more noise.
And you'll see it.
Apparent you are.
Chances are you won't have sharks come up to your boat on a rough day. But if you can get a good chum slick going during a calm day, they'll come right up to the chum box.
They'll start chewing on it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's weird how that works. But I don't think I catch as many when it's real, real calm.
I don't.
I think they see us too much. I think they kind of know, okay. And, I mean, we run big boats. My personal boat's a 24. Your boat's a 24. We run these big 24-foot flats boats.
Yeah.
And I prefer them. I tell you what, I got on a 16 the other day, 16-foot boat.
Yeah.
And it's almost scary. I'm so used to our big boats where you can just walk and, you know, it's like walking on a floor.
I have to really watch myself on other people's boats.
Well, you know, do a lot of instructional trips on other people's boats. Right, so it's even more apparent for you because you're on one boat one day, then you get with somebody else the next day.
It's those darn V-hulls. You know, I'm used to a big rectangle boat,
right,
front to back. I know my pace count. I know how many steps I can take before I need to stop. And you don't have that extra overhang on the V-haul. And when I'm running somebody else's trolling motor, you know,
it's hard not to fall off the boat.
I move around a lot because I can. You know, I'll walk from one side of the boat to the other with a trolling motor handle. I don't just stand in one spot in the middle of the boat like everybody else has to. I move around. I want to see what's swimming on this side of the boat. Are they coming up the little cut? Are they coming along the shoreline?
It's the benefit of those big skiffs, but you get on I was on that 16-foot, and I walked to one side of the boat, and the boat tips up. I'm like, wait a minute. Can I go back to the middle? And then you got to remember, it's okay that the boat tips and rocks. I mean, I can put six people on the side of my boat, and it doesn't move, just like yours.
Yeah.
They don't move. They're just, okay, you got six people there. The boat says, all right. So what?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't care. But when you get in those 16, 18-foot boats, oh, my gosh.
You do have to watch yourself.
Yeah, you got to actually balance. It's a cross between a surfboard and a boat, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about, me and Robert, we're talking about one of my client's boats. He's got one of those old Action Craft Coastal Bays.
Yeah, excellent
boat. Which I know I'm going to upset a lot of people. It's the only boat Action Craft made worth a darn.
No, Action Craft boats were made for fishing. They were not made from getting to point A to point B.
No.
They were made for when you got there. They were the quietest, best boats ever made for fishing. But getting there was half the challenge because they were wet. They pounded
horribly wet.
What makes them quiet also made them wet.
Yeah.
And that's the only problem I have in my boat. It rides better than any boat I've ever been on, but it's noisy.
Yeah.
And it's harder for me. I got to watch what I'm doing when I'm going fishing because I got to have the hull anchored a certain way. Otherwise, it goes blup, 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 snap, blup, 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 blup. And that's not good for fishing.
No, no.
The Action Craft was the quietest hull. It was a hole in the water to fish out of.
Yep.
But it wasn't very good for getting there or getting back.
But this Coastal Bay was nice. And Robert said, you know, the only bad part about those Coastal Bays was stepping up onto the front deck. And I told him, I said, I didn't notice it. Well, I'm used to having to hike my shorts up to get up on my front deck.
Right.
It's so tall.
But the Coastal Bay was a great boat.
Beautiful boat.
They run shallow. They take hard water. It's, you know, it was a great boat. I mean, you know, just mismanaged the company. And now a new guy owns it. And they're producing a nice boat still. You know, I don't know if they're making that one or not.
I don't know. I haven't seen one.
I don't know if they're still in business or not in business. I know they were making boats and getting back up to it, but it's a tough way to go making boats. That's a hard way to go.
It is. It's a lot of people think that it's easy and try doing it on their own and find out it's not as easy as they thought.
No. I've known a lot of boat builders and they don't last long. Anyway, I guess I'm not sure what else we've got to go over.
Well, the fishing's good out there. We're starting to get more and more white bait into the harbor. Look at your usual spots. If you look hard, they're probably
Spanish
there.
Spanish mackerel been coming back.
The Spanish mackerel are coming back because the white bait's coming back. They've got food now. Seeing more and more tarpon rolling up along Alligator Creek Reef because there's more bait there. Lots and lots of stingrays out there. The cow nose are everywhere. I can't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of stingray came by us today.
A lot of people, bows and arrows out there now going for the rays because they're one of the few fish, you can actually do bow hunt here with.
Yeah.
And
well, it's one of the few fish that you don't have to worry about bow hunting. And there's a few fish that we can bow hunt, cobia.
Yeah, but
fine.
It better be big.
That's
because
the problem.
If you get
is
caught,
that 32 inches or 33 inches? Is that sheephead 11 or 12?
If you shoot him with a bow, that's the same as catching him in the eyes of Marine Patrol. Just because you pull the arrow out, throw him back in the water, that didn't do any good.
And I would probably, in my eyes, count it as worse. Because
but
he
I'm
can
just saying, it is illegal.
Yeah, he can usually recover from a hook in his mouth and being in the live well. You poke a hole in him with an arrow, chances are he's not surviving.
But that's what I'm saying. The Marine Patrol counts that as a catch.
Absolutely.
Just because you take the arrow out, put him back in the water, does not mean that was your fish. You caught him, you took possession of him with that arrow, and you just got yourself an undersized cobia, and you get your tickets and fines and everything else. So you got to really watch it. Make sure.
And I can tell you how many 32-inch cobia are out there.
A lot.
Because I've caught a lot this year.
And a lot of cobia this year. Craziest year I ever saw in cobia.
I don't know if there's more cobia in here this year or if we're just catching more because they're hungry due to the lack of white bait and crabs. I think, for one, I don't think they ever left this winter.
No, they never did.
They're
still here.
They left the harbor. I think we're just seeing hungrier fish.
Could be. Yeah, and about bait, I mean, it's amazing how many times I get stopped now because I wrote that article about, you know, us taking too many bait. We're just wiping them out with our cast nets. And yes, there's the runoff from the rivers and there's pollution and then there's the temperatures and there's a lot of contributing factors. But talking to one of the research scientists, he brought me a ton of books, which I'm reading about all the different bait and stuff. What is encouraging is one species of a bait fish off of South America changed its spawning habits to try and counteract the amount of fish that were being taken. They're now spawning more often.
No surprise there.
Because so many people were, the commercial guys, the recreational guys, a lot like what happens here in the Gulf Coast, everybody's taking these fish, and they're finding themselves on the verge of extinction, so they started spawning more. And so that's something, a little bright spot in the future that could happen to our bait here. It may or may not. No one knows if it will.
What scares me is making these drainage ditches here along 41 bigger to hold more water and get more water through.
Well, they did that because all these canals on the other side, they've got to increase the water flow. Right. They've had them turn to jelly with algae and funk and horrible stuff. I mean, and toxic to humans and animals.
Yes.
And so they're rerouting some of the canal systems with piping to get more of the runoff to go through them, which means more water's going to come across 41.
Yeah.
In those spots. The only thing is they haven't changed the amount of canals that are there.
No.
But when they reroute the water, now those ones where they're putting all the pipes and all the rock and everything, they're going to increase the flow on there, which will decrease the flow from other areas. Because we only have a set amount of canals.
Yeah. Talking to Greg today, he lives on one of the canals that's has the new bigger pipes and the new flow through it. And he's seeing the lily pads rush down his saltwater canal. He's seeing tilapia swim by.
Oh, yeah, a lot more fish are going to come across because they are rerouting some of the freshwater canals, trying to keep them cleaner.
Yeah.
And what, you know, we have all these canals. It's the reason people come here. The water is everything. All these canals should be on a regular maintenance dredge just to get the gunk out of the bottom, just to keep them clean and go through. And the county's got that whole Murdoch Village fiasco they did.
Yeah.
Just take it out there and spread all that stuff across it. No one will ever know. No one's ever going to be there.
Nope.
No one's ever going to go to Murdoch Village where we pay $16,000 a day. The least we could do is use it for a dump.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. At least it would give a benefit then.
Yeah, it's...
No, Charlotte County, we're not ragging on you because you screwed us. I'm trying not to say it vulgar. I don't know how to do it. I mean... They were bad people with money. Whoever thought they were... I don't understand why, as soon as people get in government, they think they're intelligent. That kills me. You know?
You're absolutely right. I mean, look at the other fiascos that we've seen through here. I mean, yes, let's patch up all the drain holes in the PGI canals. And now we wonder why we're replacing all the seawalls, because we patched the drain holes in them.
Well, PGI is on a self-maintenance program.
True, but just for the seawalls.
No, the seawalls, the canals, everything. They pay every month, and they're all taken care of. This
right.
is the way it should be in Port Charlotte.
It was somebody in government who
they
said
want to
like, those drain holes are unsightly. Let's spackle them shut.
Yeah. And it builds the water pressure up behind it, and it pushes the whole thing over.
And I'm pretty sure it was the same guy who decided to put the mooring field on the wrong side of the bridge.
Yeah, well, a mooring field underneath the bridge for sailboats.
Right.
You don't go under a bridge if you have a sailboat.
Right.
Especially if your mast is 50 feet tall and there's only 42 feet of clearance.
Exactly.
So, and they're the only ones who would want a moor on something like that.
Right.
If you have a 40-foot boat, you're probably taking up the canal. If you've got a monster boat, you're going to want to be out there.
And
the funny part about it is they're going to pay you to moor on those buoys. But if you go anywhere not there, you can anchor for free as long as you move your boat once a month.
What gets me is somebody walked over that 41 bridge, looked over towards Fisherman's Village, and said, look at all those sailboats moored out there through the wintertime.
Right.
We could make money on that. So let's put a mooring field over there instead.
Yeah.
Let's not put it where they're already coming in every year. Let's go put it underneath a bridge they can't get through.
Right. So, not often does Punta Gorda make mistakes. They have beautiful parks. They have free boat ramps, free access. You drive down the 41 in Punta Gorda, it's gorgeous. Do you see what they did in between the trees and stuff? Punta Gorda
yes.
did a great job.
Yes.
Now, here's Punta Gorda right across the bridge. Then you come over to Charlotte County, and you couldn't get more screwed up. We have the worst. I mean, they made the roads up there, the access roads, impassable, unusable.
Yes.
You can't park, you can't do anything. You go to Punta Gorda and look, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Why didn't they, you know, this isn't hard to do. You go over and say, okay, well, they did this, let's us do that. You don't try and change what works.
And the bad news is DeSoto County is taking hints from Charlotte County.
Oh, God.
You know, they just redid Lettuce Lake Boat Ramp.
And so now it's really screwed up.
They did the exact same thing that Charlotte County did to every boat ramp down here.
Okay, what did they do?
Let's make it pretty. Let's take away parking. Let's not fix the boat ramp. And put a pay station up.
Yeah, okay. That's typical Charlotte County. Parks and Recs in Charlotte County is the worst I've ever had to deal with. And, I mean, I've got to go to battle with the county. It's time for me to go to war. That's all there is to it.
I love what they did to Bayshore.
Yeah, Bayshore's
nice. What they did to Bayshore, but okay, why do you put showers? Why do you put public showers and bathrooms at Bayshore? Why?
Because the homeless people need them.
That's what it's come into. It's now the homeless shelter. It's not a park.
It's a wonderful
anymore.
Homeless shelter.
Yeah.
They get free showers, they get a place to sleep, picnic tables. I mean, it's beautiful there.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's all nice. So, you know, the homeless got to have a place to go, too. So, I'm not going to, you know, bust on that. I mean, it was nice for them to take care of the, you know, indigent. I don't know the word.
Indigent locals.
Yes, okay. Anyway, but enough crazy talk from counties. Back to the fishing. The last question always is where would you send someone tomorrow to go fishing to have fun?
If you're going fishing to have fun, get out there in the middle of the harbor and catch some of those little 2 and 3 foot sharks on light tackle. Absolute blast.
Enough catfish, enough sharks, enough mackerel, enough anything out there in the middle of the harbor just to have good fun with. Now, what do they take? What do they need for bait?
I've been using mullet chunks. That seems to be what they really, really want more than anything else.
All right. What size rod?
If worst comes to worst, take a size 6 sabiki rig with you. There's plenty of thread fins out there to sabiki up.
Okay, let's step back. You're doing great, but let's go back. All right, we're going to go out and catch these sharks, maybe some cats and mackerel. What kind of rod and reel are you using?
On these guys, I'm using a 7.5-foot Fish and Franks rod on my 40 leaf.
10 to 20-pound class.
10 to 20-pound class, 15-pound braided line. I'm going from 15-pound braid to about a 4-foot, 40-pound mono leader, then to my shark rig.
Now, what's your shark rig?
I'm just using our off-the-shelf shark rigs. Nothing special.
So just the regular rigs, either the AFWs or the Fish and Frank ones.
Yep. Either ones work.
Regular rod like you'd use for a snook or redfish or bass.
Absolutely. And if you really want to make it fun, break out the trout rods.
And so, now, what size hooks? Anything from a 6-aught, 7-aught?
Yeah, I think we're putting 8-aughts on our homemade rigs, and they're working fine on those small shark. Again, make sure you pinch the barb down much easier to get them off the hook.
Yeah, don't use a barb with a shark. It's not fair. It's not right. So flatten the barb down, and are you on floats? Are you on the bottom?
Putting everything on the bottom.
So
putting everything on the bottom. If you want to have fun and you are sabiki rigging up some of those thread fins, put one out there under a bobber, because there's some small black tips out there mixed with them. Either really small 1 to 2 foot black tips. 9 times out of 10, you put one out there under a float, it's going to get hit by a 3 or 4 foot black tip. They're just tearing those thread fins up.
So we got one line on a float 4 feet below a bobber, and then you got another line out there in the bottom.
They're sitting right on bottom.
And chunks of mullet, sardines, if you can catch some fresh bait, always better. Take one chum bag, anchor up somewhere in the middle of the harbor, and just have a blast.
Yep. Yeah, and it's good fun for kids. If you have grandkids down here visiting for the summertime, take them out there and hit some sharks. That's something that they can go back home and brag to all their friends, because they don't catch a whole lot of sharks in Ohio.
And not only that, but to actually see, hold, take the hook out of, handle a shark, I mean, that just sets people's brains haywire.
Yeah, it worked with me. I mean, I was hooked on the very first one I caught.
So, all right. Well, I guess that'll do it. Let's see. Here we go. Fishing with Captain Kale.
The wife, she thinks I'm working.
This is about the effects.
Fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the
Captain Kale guy. You know, I have to learn that on the guitar, because we could do some great lyrics.
Oh, yeah, we could.
So, anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair and Captain Kale in the chair across from me. Thanks for listening to Radio Fishing, guys. Bye-bye.